Welcome back to No Longer Conformed, where we're studying the book of Acts. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 19, verses 21 to 41, Ephesus, a conquering gospel. Well, let's read those first couple of verses and get started here. In Acts chapter 19, beginning with verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. As the Ephesus ministry nears its completion, Paul began to look forward, Jerusalem and Rome. He sent two co-workers on ahead to Macedonia. Well, why? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us in verse 1 that now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. See, the collection was being taken up for the saints at Jerusalem. And it's interesting how God closed down the ministry opportunity he gave to Paul's mission team at Ephesus. Yeah, verse 23 there arose an opposition among the merchants. And about that time, verse 23, there arose a great commotion about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made with hands. So, not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of our great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Their pagan religion was big business for the local economy. Because of Christianity, the religious business made a rapid decline. Not cool. So then the opposition spread among the people. Look at verse 28. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia who were his friends sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense of the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." The upset business owners, they took their concern to the street and they successfully provoked a riot and public protest with confusion. And then the opposition backfired before the law. Verse 35. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring the charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering." So a city clerk handled the situation wisely. The reputation of Ephesus as guardian of Diana, it was in no danger. The Christians were not guilty of any crime, no blasphemy, no robbery. If anyone believed they have a legal case, well, the courts and the proconsuls are able to judge. We're in danger, for no reason can be given for the uproar, the public uproar that was started. The pattern of Paul's journeys in the book of Acts is seen. He was never found guilty of breaking Roman law. The Christians were consistently innocent of civil laws. And look at verse 41. As our passage concludes. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. You have a great day.